following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Welcome to The Leftovers, brought to you by the Underdog Sports Network, with Josh Dunn, Anshu Khanna, and Dan Bauer.
Hello and welcome to The Leftovers on August 6th. I am Dan Bauer. I have Anshu Khanna with me today. Josh Dunn, busy recording lots of concert Snapchats at the moment, so he's not joining us. To record. Been doing that all weekend, so looks like you're having fun, Josh. We missed you, and we'll catch you Tuesday. But, Anshu, how's your weekend, bud?
Dan, it was awesome, memorable, and summertime shot is the best. How's it going out there in Cleveland?
A very enjoyable weekend, and some very exciting news. Congrats to my brother Mark, now officially engaged, so he, I don't think I'm spoiling it now for anybody, but that's always a fun one. So one-time guest host on the show, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, Leftovers traditionalists will appreciate that, but congrats to Mark. That's Mark and Paige, great, great duo right there. Power couple.
Shout out to them. The other big news in Cleveland, Corey Coleman, former first-round draft pick, 2016, is now on his way to Buffalo for a late round draft pick. Anshu, this is one that it's not completely unexpected here in Cleveland with the trade of Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon seemingly going to be here this year, and Antonio Callaway really showing flashes in camp. It was very much looking like Coleman was expendable. He's consistently had injury issues, a couple broken hands, and just not able to stay healthy. And when he is healthy, unfortunately, just not able to put up the numbers we hoped when he was originally drafted. You were really high on him when the Browns selected him. You even mocked him in your awesome mock drafts you always see before for the NFL draft, and you even had him going to the Browns. You were very high on him. So do you think he can resurrect his career, or do you think it's ready to call it bust time?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the writing was on the wall, and you brought up with the roster crunch. I mean, you know, obviously they have David Njoku at tight end, and you brought up obviously Callaway and Landry and Josh Gordon, but they also have Hollywood Higgins who flashed last year, and they signed Jeff Janis, Packer fan favorite. So, you know, a lot of options there in Cleveland, and, you know, I kind of get it. Like he was going to get crunched out unless he had a really good start. I actually thought that the Packers made a ton of sense to trade for him. I was lobbying hard for this, with some Packer fan friends of mine. I still believe in Corey Coleman. Part of why I liked him so much was he was really explosive as a young player. And for a kind of a person who's slight of build, he was really good in the red zone at Baylor. So I still think this guy's got just a world of ability. He's just got to stay healthy and on the field. You saw it firsthand, Dan, like, you know, early, especially in his rookie year, this guy flashed like crazy. He just could never stay healthy. And so that's what he needs to fix first. And then, you know, the nuance of the position is going to be next, obviously.
Yeah, it really is sad to see, and I wish him the best. It just, there wasn't a spot for him in Cleveland. But sticking with the theme of injury issues, down in Houston, we got all kinds of them. So Jose Altuve's headed back to Houston for another evaluation of his knee. George Springer exited today's game with a thumb injury, but looks like x-rays are coming back negative on that, so it doesn't look too serious. McCullers dealing with an elbow issue as well. So lots going on in Houston. Aren't you any reason to think that these injuries are going to have a more long-term impact as we get towards the crunch time of the regular season and obviously into playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, you take Lance McCullers out of that equation and it becomes a much more interesting playing field. I mean, even with him, you never know because of the way that these four power teams in the AL are constructed, but right now they're only four games up on the upstart A's. 67-46 are Oakland, and Houston 71-42. And, you know, in for the more intermediate future, I guess, the Indians are only, what, five and a half, I think, maybe back of Houston for that all-important home field advantage in the playoffs. So, and also, you know, which one of those two teams is the one seed and plays potentially, you know, the wild card team, which could be New York, it looks like. So, you know, it does matter. It matters a ton. I mean, all those guys that you mentioned, Altuve especially, you know, this is a former MVP, obviously, and McCullers an absolute rock, you know, and a really useful type of swing player, especially in the playoffs, the kind of guy that you need, like a strikeout machine, you know, out of the pen or starting the game. So I think these are major causes for concern for Houston, absolutely.
You mentioned the Oakland A's, and it's a team we really haven't talked too much about. Steven mentioned them when he guest hosted on his O, by the way, is just of a very impressive run by them. And at the time, we had said, you know, very impressive, but no way they overtake Houston. And that might not be the case anymore. They've won six in a row. Seattle's still right there as well, 6.5 back of Houston. So if looking into your crystal ball, do you think that there is any chance that Oakland actually wins this division and forces Houston into a wild card game?
No, I don't. But I do think that Oakland becomes very interesting, especially as we look at these waiver pickups. I mean, today, I believe the Cards picked up Tyson Ross either today or yesterday from San Diego. That's an impact player that can definitely make a difference. And, you know, you talked about Oakland being four games back in Houston. They're only one game back of the Yankees, I believe, at least in the win column, and five back in the loss column. But, you know, they're hovering around. And then Seattle gets Robinson Cano back here next week. So, yeah, they're also going to get a big addition there. And I think that those teams, you know, I wouldn't lock it in that the Yankees are necessarily going to make this whole thing. I think they're the team to watch out for these A's if they stay hot to overtake and, you know, potentially make this AL wildcard game an all AL last game.
That would honestly be one of the more unexpected storylines of this baseball season. If New York doesn't even make the playoffs, and then you have Oakland and Seattle, or obviously...
I'm sure you would love that. You would love that.
Honestly, I want New York to get into it because I think I'm way less worried about them than Houston. So, if Oakland can overtake Houston in the division and have Oakland be the West champion and go in there, and then it's between... New York or Houston in a one game, I'd rather have New York advance out of that. I'm way more scared of Houston in a full series than I am of the Yankees.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what are your thoughts on Houston then with these injuries as a Cleveland fan? Like, I mean, do you, even though you're saying that, you know, they scare you a little bit more, but you take McCullers out, potentially a banged up Altuve in the playoffs or maybe not even present Altuve, I mean, does that even the playing field at all to you?
Oh, it absolutely evens the playing field. And again, I think that's a very even playing field with him in the lineup. So, you know, we had talked about it earlier. Worst case scenario for me as an Indians fan was Houston getting a big reliever because I do think kind of pitcher by pitcher, we match up very well. And it's kind of going to be one of those we have to turn it over to the bullpens. And our bullpen's obviously been a question mark, but all of a sudden, if McCullers goes down for an extended period of time, if he can't be healthy for the playoffs, that's one win right there that I'm pretty confident we can outduel. Depending on who fills that slot, you're going to get on the Indians' end at some point. You know, depending on how if they have to do a one game playoff and all that. Jazz of where the lineup or where the rotations land. If you have a guy like Carlos Carrasco going against Charlie Morton, you know, I'll take that every time. So I do think it's a big issue for him. Again, who knows the extent of these injuries, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. This is one of those things that, especially in baseball, tends to sometimes happen when you play as many games as you do, make it to a World Series, go deep in series the year before. Sometimes this does creep up that following year, and you start to get those injury issues just from how much baseball you're playing. So it is going to be. And the other wrinkle is with how close that division is as compared to Cleveland. Cleveland's we're gonna be able to rest all of our starters for 2 weeks at the end of the year before we get to playoff time. Where Houston, Oakland, and Seattle are all gonna be battling there, and you're gonna have to throw guys right till the end of the year. Where essentially, you know, the Indians are 9 games up on the Twins right now. By the time even maybe the start of September rolls around, we're just gonna sit there and be throwing AAA guys out there for most of the last couple weeks of the season. So, in terms of the health factor, you know, that's obviously a huge one.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. It's an interesting take. I read somewhere that I believe this is true, that McCullers' injury makes this the first time all season that the Astros will actually lose a starting pitcher to injury in a year. You know, in an era where pitchers are constantly on the DL, especially with this 10-day DL. And last year, the Astros used it liberally, to say the least. The fact that McCullers is their first guy to go on the DL of those four, when you think of Keuchel and Cole, Verlander and McCullers, I mean, that is insane to me. And I think it speaks a little bit to the fact that, you know, this Astros team is really, really good. I still think that they probably top to bottom are the best team in baseball. But, you know, there is some good fortune that comes with a long season. I think your point's well taken. You know, after basically adding, you know, another 10% to your season last year in your postseason run, and those are all high leverage innings, you know, it's bound to happen that the next year it becomes very difficult for those pitchers to maintain their health. This might be, I don't want to say it's the tip of the iceberg, but, you know, it could be one of those situations where you might start seeing some of these guys get iced. And as we see with the A's and Mariners and coming full circle on this AL West, I mean, the Astros have not run and hidden by any means. And, you know, I think that I don't think the Astros will fall out of it, but it's got to raise your eyebrow a little bit if you're, you know, Jeff Luna on this Houston team.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a real fun next 2 months as we wrap up this baseball season. Sticking out west though, a weird story that we haven't really touched on yet. It leaked that Mike Socha was gonna retire at the end of the year. Then he came back and said, "quote It's poppycock," that he would be stepping down. Says he's sticking with the job. So any thoughts on the Mike Socha retirement, not retirement, and him going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a very taxing season. I mean, you look at the Angels, they come out to get real hot. Otani takes over, you know, just takes baseball by storm. Obviously, Mike Trout was amazing. And now you've got Trout out. You had, obviously, Otani out for long stretches. The Garrett Richards injury, just a killer. Now Tyler Skaggs is banged up. Andrew Haney has been good. He's come back. He's been good. But, like, and they've had some good rookie pitching. But overall, you know, it's been a very rocky road, and it would tax any manager, especially an old school guy like Socha, who's now forced to kind of adhere to really the Otani thing is such a, for an older school manager, I could see that really being a fatiguing situation. You know what I mean? Like, you've been put in this tough spot and now they're completely out of it in a division that we've been talking about here for the last few minutes. You know, it just pales in comparison, and you just have to wonder how many more years they can waste with Mike Trout before he just says, "All right, that's it. Like, you know, I'm out of here." He doesn't seem like that kind of guy. I'm not saying he's going to demand a trade, but I think when his deal's up, Mike Trout is increasingly less likely to be an Angel, and I don't know that Mike Socha is going to be the manager for him, you know, in the next few years. I think where there's smoke, there's fire, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if he was, whether he does it voluntarily or not, it might be time for a new voice in L.A. because we haven't seen an Angel playoff berth in, what, a half decade at least.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that I didn't really think about of how long you could just continue to not make a run with the best player in baseball and what looks to be the best player in the history of baseball by the numbers. And so, you know, it said not be able to make the playoffs with him. They've just never been able to figure out a starting rotation, and I don't know if that's a development issue or what that is. I mean, when's the last time that they had a homegrown pitching talent that was really your number one guy?
Yeah, nah, it's been a long time. I mean, I think they thought Garrett Richards would maybe be that guy. He's got really electric stuff, but he's always hurt. He's out for the season again this year. You know, again, they've done okay. Their pitching, once they reach the major leagues, has been decent, but it's just, you know, their farm system's been perpetually bad. And you know, they've added some pieces here and there, but like the overall, like the depth of it's just not been good. And ultimately, unfortunately, maybe a lot of that blame is ultimately going to fall on the manager. I could see this being, you know, Socha's downfall, whether voluntarily or not. I mean, it might be that management just says, look, we're done with him, and gives him the option to retire gracefully or to get forced out on their own accord.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to watch over the next couple of months. What's your prediction? Is he the manager opening day 2019?
I'm going to guess not. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, the division has more than come back to them. I think I really wouldn't underestimate the fatigue of the Ohtani factor and what it means for them and the pressure associated with the amount that they have designated and earmarked for those two guys. And, you know, to your point about not being able to develop a pitcher, I mean, Ohtani is a pitcher and he looks pretty good, but now he can't pitch. So you've lost arguably your three best pitchers going into the season to injury or to some other factors. And, you know, that's just got to wear on someone. So I'm going to say, no, he's not the manager next year for the Angels.
Very much. And going on your theme of where there's smoke, there's fire. The other wrinkle is that Angel Special Assistant Eric Chavez is headed to AAA Salt Lake to coach the Bees. And they brought up the current AAA manager, Keith Johnson, to have a spot on the Angels big league staff. And Chavez has been mentioned as kind of a name in waiting and a hot coaching commodity. So for him to go down there, you know, maybe it's the Angels seeing how he can manage as close as you can get to a big league club of, hey, go manage our AAA team. And see how you do for a month, and you know, who knows, maybe he's the opening day starter next or opening day manager next year.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, he's bilingual. We've seen him on the various networks. He's really well spoken. And the other piece of this whole puzzle is, like, let's not forget all these crazy moves that Angels have made in the last 2 years to add veterans. I mean, they added Justin Upton, they added Ian Kinsler, they signed Zach Cozart. They were a pretty solid lineup overall of productive players. And so beyond the pitching, they just haven't hit. They haven't done anything super well. So, like, you know, the time, you know, the clock's ticking, and maybe it's time for a fresh voice to come in there. And maybe Eric Chavez is that guy.
Could be. And we'll get wrapped up here with baseball in a second. But keeping on that AAA theme there, some crazy thing that I saw that I wanted to mention is – how much we love our prospects and how much we've talked about the Braves this year. So every member of the Braves AAA rotation is a top 100 prospect.
Are you serious? Is it five or four?
It's five.
Wow.
So, Kyle Wright, Tuki Toussaint, Colby Allard, Bryce Wilson, and Luis Gohara.
Jeez, and all those guys, half those guys have been brought up this year too. Max Fried is a guy who just came up. You know, they've had a couple others for sure. Sean Newcomb was just in the AAA rotation last year, another top 100 guy. So you're talking about, you know, like seven or eight deep that are right around there. I mean, look, the thing about the Braves farm system has always been their depth is good. I just don't see like the super talented guys. Like Dansby Swanson was that guy, and he hasn't panned out. And it's just like they don't have like those top of the line. And you and I have definitely agreed on this in the past where it's nice to have, you know, a bunch of good piece, a bunch of shots at the dartboard. But, you know, they don't really have like that number one top of the line guy. I mean, now they do in the outfield, but not really, you know, not really as far as their pitchers, in my opinion.
Yeah, of those guys I mentioned, the top two, depending on which prospect list you're looking at. Kyle Wright, 26, according to Baseball America, and 18, according to ESPN. Mm-hmm. And Gohara is 19, according to Baseball America. So, you know, that's not 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, obviously. So, to your point, mm-hmm. you can throw a lot of darts, but at some point you got to hit a bullseye.
Absolutely. Well said. Way to take that metaphor in the right direction.
I should appreciate the compliment. Well, we'll get to our Oh, By the Ways, and we'll let our listeners go to their Mondays. So my oh, by the way, is in honor of Josh not being here, I'll give him a quick Cavs shout-out. So Sam Decker on his way to the Cavs from the
Clippers. My guy.
And also, yeah, a full wrap-up there with all of our all of our teams, former Badger. He's on his way. I still don't know what the exact compensation is yet, but we'll keep an eye on that. Anshu, what's your oh, by the way?
Yeah, so it looks like the Philadelphia Eagles have signed Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman to extensions. Seems like a no-brainer at this point. Smart of Peterson to do it because he lost his top two coordinators this offseason. Frank Reich obviously gone. And then the other guy went to the Vikings. Man, his name's slipped my head. Okay. But, yeah, he's the offensive coordinator for the Vikes this year with Kirk Cousins. So those two guys combined, you know, it's smart to lock yourself in. Howie Roseman, obviously there was a lot said when he fired Chip Kelly, took back all the player personnel duties, and a lot of people kind of, you know, were making fun of him under the radar. He had the opportunity to construct the roster pre-Chip Kelly and hadn't done a great job. Obviously, they win the Super Bowl. They look on the up and up. I think that it's a good time, though, for Peterson because I have a sneaking suspicion that this Eagles team is not going to be nearly as good in 2019 as they – or 2018 as they were in 2017.
Yeah, very good pointing out the loss of your two best coordinators. Doesn't generally bode well for you. So, you know,
no.
Like you said, smart move to lock that up. But a smart move for us to wrap this up. We will let you guys get going. Thanks, as always, for listening to The Leftovers and supporting us. We really appreciate it. For Anshu Khanna, I'm Dan Bauer. We'll catch you guys on Hump Day.